Today on Real Radio.
Now you say, Pastor, I'm sad I came today. I'm sorry I'm even here. Look, I'm sorry I have to deliver this message, but my boss is God, and he wrote the book, and we go verse by verse through the book, and I would much rather talk about, you know, Jesus feeding 5,000 people on the slopes of Galilee. But we have to go verse by verse through the book, and we now come to a time of horrific judgment. Before we go any further, let me give you some hope.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his fascinating series through the book of Revelation. Of all topics to teach on out of Scripture, hell has to be by far among the most difficult. But because our teacher is committed to verse-by-verse examination of the entire counsel of Scripture, we continue in this very serious sub-series called When Hell Meets Earth. It's taken from Revelation chapter 9, and today we'll be looking at verses 13 through 21. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
It is not only the most difficult chapter of the Bible to teach on, it is the chapter of the Bible that has the most types or symbols of all the chapters of the entire Bible, Old and New Testament. For example, in the book of Revelation chapter 9, you have the statement, like a scorpion or like a serpent. It was like something more than any other chapter of the Bible. But you also have the statement, as a lion or as a fire. Now, you know, by introduction to this book, before we started this book in chapter 1, verse 1, we spent time in the introduction making you well knowing the laws of interpretation regarding the Scripture. You don't have to guess about the book of Revelation if something is symbolic or not. It tells you in advance, doesn't it? Remember that? We looked at that. That when something is symbolic, it says it was as though or it was like a serpent. And so you know right now, right then and there when you read it, it's number one, not a serpent. If it says, for example, in the Gospels that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a what? Dove. What do we know for sure? That it was not a dove that landed on Jesus. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit descended upon him the way that a dove would descend upon a branch. So in the book of Revelation, when it says that these entities came out of the earth, these spirit beings, and they begin to attack people upon the earth, these demonic forces, and they were like horses and like scorpions, or they were like locusts. What do we know for sure? That they're not horses, they're not locusts, and they're not scorpions. But John says they're so prolific, they're so powerful, and they're so painful that when they do their bidding, when they do their work, it is like these human things that we can relate to. Are you with me on that? It's very important we understand that. Because as we go now to the last part of chapter 9, we are actually talking about a precursor of hell itself. That there is a time in the tribulation period that is yet coming, by the way. It is a 7-year tribulation period that is coming guaranteed by God in Scripture of a time of judgment. The first 3.5 years is a form of judgment that catches people off guard. Judgment sent by God via demonic deception. Signs and wonders, miracles, a peace brought upon the earth, a peace treaty brought upon Israel, it says, which always just causes me to get excited. Because it's not a peace treaty with Canada. The Bible didn't say it's a peace treaty with Peru. It said a peace treaty will be initiated in the last days. In the book of Revelation, brings us to those days, a peace treaty with Israel. The Bible also says that there's going to be an incredible time of wealth and prosperity during that first 3.5 years. So much so that this man that we call, and I have to say unfortunately so, the Antichrist. Every Christian knows about the Antichrist. the world will not know him as the Antichrist. They're not going to say, oh, man, look. He's got horns sticking out of his hair. I could have swore. Did you see a little tail stick out of his pants? I thought there was a tail sticking out of his pants. He's not going to have a tail or a pitchfork or horns. He's not going to be dressed up in red. He is going to be an incredibly powerful, demonically, satanically possessed politician who will implement an economic world system. He'll bring pseudo-peace to the world, and the world will love him. And they're going to throw their dedication toward him. So that this man who comes on the scene is called the Antichrist, or the instead of Christ. He is the imposter of Jesus Christ. He is, in fact, Satan's son. We can put it that way. In a horrible, unholy trinity. That will happen during that 7-year period of time. Now, the last 7.5-year portion, 3.5 years, you got the upfront 3.5, deception, prosperity, and world peace. Then you got the last half of the 3.5-year period, or the 7-year broken up into 2 3.5-year sections. The last half is terrible, demonic manifestations upon the earth. And I'm telling you, it is crazy scary. These spirits that are going to come up upon the earth, I do not believe that anyone will see them. I think John, who was in the spirit on the Lord's day, or the day of the Lord, judgment, saw these entities because God gave him the eyes in the spirit realm to see what's coming on the earth. That makes it worse, because these people who will be dwelling on the earth at the time who have rejected Christ, by the way, they've already rejected Jesus. This is their judgment that's coming. They will not see these entities, but will be afflicted by them. And we shall see this morning that now 1/3 more of the earth will perish at their attacking. But this now mathematically brings us to, after starting the book of Revelation, to half of the world's population now dead by the elements of judgment during the tribulation period. Now you say, Pastor, I'm sad I came today. I'm sorry I'm even here. Look, I'm sorry I have to deliver this message, but my boss is God, and he wrote the book, and we go verse by verse through the book, and I would much rather talk about, you know, Jesus feeding 5,000 people on the slopes of Galilee. But we have to go verse by verse through the book, and we now come to a time of horrific judgment. Before we go any further, let me give you some hope. Last week, there was a couple gentlemen, that were related to one another. They were sitting over here, and they were grandparents of the child that was being dedicated that morning. And so anyway, the message is going on. And I just heard this morning that this one man who raised his hand, by the way, and accepted the Lord last week, he said, man, that message last week on hell, I mean, it just scared it right out of me. And this is an older man who, listen, it's important to the message this morning. It's an older man who saw his need for Christ, stepped out of his pride. Look, for a man, that's a big deal. Right, guys? Amen. It's a tough thing. Women, you battle Nordstrom's and sales. We battle our pride as guys. Okay? I was lost yesterday. I was speaking at a Calvary Chapel in, I don't know, I was lost. San Fernando Valley. I was late. And it was funny because I was so lost, I didn't know what to do. And I think Satan invented MapQuest. MapQuest is always wrong. It's always wrong. So I'm trying to find this place, and it's all wrong. And then I had to laugh because there's no phone number for me to call. So then I thought, well, that's okay. I'll dial 411, and I'll get Calvary Chapel of Sylmar. That's where I was at, Sylmar. So I 411, Sylmar. Well, there's nobody answering the phone. I thought, well, man, Calvary Chapel. Why doesn't anybody answer the phone? I don't know how to get there. So I'm praying. And then I thought, if I had a phone number... And then the Lord said, you wouldn't call it if you had it. You're a man. You're too proud to call for instructions. It's true. So I'm saying, Lord, you got to help me. He helped me. I got there. I pulled up into the parking lot. 5 minutes before I was supposed to speak, I hit this thing and crashed into this wall. And it was terrible. They were laughing. And I thought my brakes were better than that. I need to get brakes. But I got out of my truck, and there were 4 guys standing there. And they had these big smiles on their faces. Those of you who are involved in prison ministry, listen, I know there's a lot of you. I was completely blown away. This probably has nothing to do with the message. Somehow I'll try to wiggle it in. As I pulled in there, these four guys were standing there with big smiles on their faces. I got out of my truck. They were shaking my hand. And they said, you don't know who we are, and that doesn't matter. 2 years ago, you went to the prison in Chino, and you preached the gospel. The four of us got saved. We got out, and now we're serving at this church. It was awesome. I look like a lunatic. I come flying up, crash into the wall, jump out. They tell me this great news. I could have left. My cup was full. What? You guys accept the Lord in prison? Yes, and we're serving now at this church. Nothing, it doesn't get better than that. Amen. They reacted to the message, responded to the message, accepted Christ. Thank God, like this man last week, who wasn't too old and too prideful to respond to the message he said, it scared the out of him, that he responded to the gospel. And that's good news. So in the midst of this message and where we're going, remember, if you're a Christian this morning, Revelation chapter 9 will not be your fate. Amen. You will not see these events. And I'm glad about that. If you're not a Christian, you better be careful and become a Christian today. Because here's one of the reasons why. Every day, the older you get, and you keep saying no. No to God. No. 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 You know what God does? Actually, you do it. He watches. You pour yourself concrete every day you say no, and every day you continue to say no, that concrete begins to set from the bottom up until you've reached an age or you've reached opportunities to where you've said no to Christ so much that now you're standing in cement that's hardened. You stood there so long, you rejected him so hard that now the preaching of the gospel makes you angry, makes you mad, and you won't repent. As we shall see in our study of those who have stood too long against Christ. Revelation 9, now we pick it up in verse 13. Revelation 9, 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, the sixth out of seven angels. Number six sounds, and I heard, John said, a voice from the four corners of the golden altar, which is before God. That's heaven. Saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, day, month, and year were released to kill a third of humankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fire. Jephthah, blue and sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third part of humankind or mankind were killed. How was that? Well, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which came out of their mouths. Verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like scorpion or serpents, excuse me. So it's not a serpent, but like a serpent, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or of their sorceries or of their sexual immorality or of their thefts. This is a tremendous thing. We looked at three points in our study this morning. Number one is this: when hell is unleashed upon the earth in the latter portion of the great tribulation period to come, we see here in verses 13 to 15 that there's a demand for judgment. Church, you're not going to like this. But it's the way that it is. It is holy and it is right. I know we have a hard time because man manipulates judgment and then man creates his own definition of judgment. But the fact of the matter is, my friend, that judgment is God's divine prerogative. Judgment comes from the hand of God. God exercises judgment. It's his right. It says in verse 13, the sixth angel sounds. Remember, the seven angels. And the first four trumpet blasts, they sounded, and those were plagues that had to deal with environmental disasters. Remember that? We studied that at length. Now the last three are the worst. Now we're looking at the sixth one, soon the seventh. But number 5, 6, and 7, they're horrific because they deal with spiritual entities that are being released upon the earth, invisible in nature. But note this, it's God's divine right or prerogative to judge the earth. Now, listen, you and I can say, well, you know, that guy judged me, or that church judged me, or that person judged me, or that judge judged me. Quite frankly, no human has ever been given the authority to judge according to a biblical definition. Did you know that? I hope you understand that. We do have a judicial system in this land established from the Bible by our founding fathers based upon the Word of God. That's why the scripture often says that judges in the Old Testament will name them gods, doesn't it? And with a little g. Why? They sit in judgment over people in the place of God, but they're not God. They act in the place of God as in judges. But as a believer, you and I are supposed to look at one another's life when we say, I'm a Christian. If I announce to you, I'm a Christian, then immediately I've placed myself in a category whereby you must evaluate my life. Look, it goes this way. If I say I'm an atheist, what do you expect out of me? Yeah, good. Nothing. I can't expect anything out of you. Listen, if you tell your kid that he's an animal, that he's a byproduct of the evolutionary process, it is wrong for you to lay upon him a morality. What's wrong with you? You're trying to impose an ethic upon an animal. You don't tell your dog, sit in the corner. You know, that's wrong for you to do that. You lied to me. You were wagging your tail all the while. You were eating my cookies. You don't expect that out of your dog. Why? Who's an animal? Listen, if the evolutionary theory is right, then we're just animals. So you can't tell somebody what's right and what's wrong. You understand that's very important. Well, the truth of the matter is we are not products of an evolutionary process. The truth is that God has revealed to all mankind that he is holy and that he is judge. Amen. You and I look at one another and we evaluate based upon our belief system, atheist, evolutionist. We don't expect anything out of them except animalistic type practices, frankly. But when somebody says, oh, I believe in God, well, now you've placed yourself in a category whereby I do now expect things out of your life. Why? Because you've put a title of yourself as being one who knows God. Are you with me, everybody? Yes. That was pretty weak. Yes. Good. Because now you have an identity. Well, the truth is, I can evaluate your life and you evaluate my life, and so we should. We inspect the fruit of one another's lives. That's good, and we should do that. It's acceptable, but never are we allowed, as the Bible says, you shall not judge another. Why? Because the word to judge is to condemn. You and I do not have the authority nor the ability to judge anyone with condemnation. Do you know what that means? Condemnation? If somebody's on their way to hell by virtue of their belief and practice, we cannot say to them, you're going to hell! We can say to them, if you continue like this, according to the Bible, if you die like this, you'll wind up in hell. They cannot say to you, stop judging me. I'm not judging you. This word is judging you. And the word says, if you die in your sins, then you will inherit hell. That's what the Bible says. So that's a very important thing to keep in mind. God is the judge, and it is his divine prerogative. Notice here in verse 13, that the angel sounds the trumpet and a voice is heard from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Church, do you remember where that's at? That is in heaven before the throne. Do you remember the souls under the altar? Remember, they are the tribulation saints who have died for their faith in God in the preceding 3.5 years. Those are the souls that are under the altar, but a voice comes out of the altar. What is this voice? It's none other than answered prayer from Jesus Christ himself. John's gospel tells us in chapter 5, verse 22, that the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, Jesus Christ. Revelation 6, verse 9, you can jot it down, review it later. Revelation 6, 9 through 11, says that when he opened the fifth seal, he saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held, which is Jesus Christ. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a robe was given to them, to each of them, and it was said that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren would be killed as they were, until that number was completed. Interesting. Under the soles of the altar, they're crying out, "When will judgment come to the earth?" There's a response, "Just wait. Judgment will come to the earth. Your brothers and sisters ahead of you still remaining on earth that trust Christ, believe in Christ during the tribulation period, they must die also as you've died. Here are white robes of righteousness. Wait a little longer." Revelation 8:3. "And another angel came and stood at the altar," that is in heaven, "having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne of God." So we already know now what that golden altar is all about. From the altar comes a voice, and that voice has instruction. God is judge. According to John's gospel, as I read earlier, chapter 5:22, Jesus is the judge. You know, I don't know. Again, I confess, I watch too much news and I wind up sometimes maybe getting overcome. You know, you look at it and it's like, what is going on with this world? Have you guys, is this world nuts? Yeah. It's nuts. By the way, thank you for responding to AB 19, what was it? 1969 or 67? Assembly Bill, remember last week? You picked up the phone and you called and you sent computers. Did you see what happened this week? They were completely flooded. They removed it. They're not going to deal with it. They put it off to the side. By the way, if you missed that, if you were not here, that was the AB bill that would cause marriage in California to be between two agreeable parties rather than husband and wife. They were inundated, and they said too hot to handle. They put it off to the side, thank God. Hold your ground, though. We'll get into more of that later. If that offends you, just hang on. There's a lot more coming. With that, Psalm 2, listen to this. Psalm 2, it's 3,000 plus years old. Listen to this. Psalm 2, verse 2 says, "The kings of the earth have set themselves against God." Can you imagine governmental leaders setting themselves against God? Who would do that? "And the rulers take counsel together." Can you imagine a little huddle from hell? "Hey, come on. You guys, come on over. Let's get in a huddle from hell. Let's see if we can overthrow God. He sits in the heavens and rules all the universe." "They took counsel and they gathered against the Lord and his anointed." That's Jesus Christ. And this is what they say. Psalm 2, verse 3. "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast them from us." Let's get away from God and remove them from our society. "He who sits in the heavens, though, shall laugh. He shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath." That time is yet coming.
The Apocalypse, or as it is more commonly called, the Revelation recorded by John, is just that, Revelation, a sneak preview of things to come. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a study of Revelation chapter 9 and verses 13 through 21. There's more to come with this presentation called When Hell Meets Earth. That's on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In fact, here's something we haven't mentioned for a while. The 4-CD series called Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update is still available to you for a donation of any amount. Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update deals with the unfortunate affairs taking place in the Middle East right now. This audio presentation tells us what we need to know as believers. Also, the most recent jihad. And it answers two key questions. Whose war is this? And what is Mystery Babylon? So for Jack Hibbs Prophecy Update, visit realradioactive.org. If you'd like to give us a call, you may do that as well. Area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.